Are you ready to hear the word of God? Our speaker today is, you know him already. He's one of our worship leaders. He's doing our website. At the same time, if you are attending the Bible study or the High Yesod, he's the one who teaches while our rabbi is not here. I will call Rabbi.
Shabbat Shalom. Avi Abrams, which is kind of a strange name because it's Abraham kind of thing, right? The first name, the last name is the same. That's fine. I'm okay with that. mostly because my previous Jewish Polish last name was Janoszkiewicz, which is very hard to put in writing in Canada. Abrams is my mother's last name, so I'm actually very grateful that the opportunity to preach here in the beautiful house of God, and I have my mother here present as well, which is a huge blessing for me. Hallelujah for that. Yeah. I'm going to preach today the definition of idolatry, the definition of certain disposition of heart and thoughts which leads people astray from God. So it's a pretty somber kind of theme. You understand, of course, why I'm not exuberant or joyful right now. You know that. A lot of events are happening. Even that sound of the rockets going off, I mean, yeah, it's the reminder of us, for us, that we live in the last days. As we progress day to day, it's going to intensify. It's going to become more intense. We might hear more and more alarm sounds everywhere. We might find ourselves in a situation where there is only refuge to be found, only quiet place to be found, is in God's Word. Because everything around us is going to get so agitated, so hot and bothered kind of thing. You know that the enemy is the Lord of the power of the air, so all of these influences are floating around. The spiritual warfare is floating around. And it becomes sort of somebody's turning up the heat. The heat is being turned up slowly. But our refuge is in the Lord. And this is the crucial message right now for us to stay with the Lord and do not deviate. Do not become estranged. Do not become far from Him. Do not increase the distance from Him. But on the contrary, get closer to Him. Get into the tower of refuge that King David was speaking about. This cave of Adullam in which he has been hiding. This is just a little to impress upon you the importance of being closer to God. Now, what I'm going to teach for you today is going to have the practical implications for your life. It's not just something that you read in the Bible or in the doctrine. And before I'm going to do that, let's just pray first. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we bless you and we thank you. We come before you with expectation to hear from you, Lord. We come in with beautiful, waiting, eager waiting upon you. We're congregating around Yeshua like disciples, like all these multitudes. They were hungry to hear what the Lord has prepared. He has prepared food for us, food. He has prepared the breakfast, the fish, and other things for us to partake, because it is the nourishment for our souls. The world may be very loud, the world and worldly events are loud, but we need the Holy Spirit power, and we need the Holy Spirit words speaking to us from the very throne of God, because He loves us. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless your name, Adonai, Yeshua, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, just to share my heart a little bit, we had a beautiful prayer meeting here on Thursday. A lot of people came and prayed from the heart. And the Lord has been talking to me all this evening. And my heart was disturbed and bleeding in a way. My heart was crying. There is some sort of a sense, some sense of foreboding kind of in the air about this whole thing. And I can tell you why. You might be surprised to what I'm going to say, is that the whole trouble may not even started yet. It did start, of course, with the incredible attack, and a lot of lives have been lost. But think about it. This is the conflict which is going to be very long and hard. This is the invasion of Gaza. It didn't even start yet. I was thinking about my own life when I was praying for Israel, because I come from the environment which still remembers Holocaust. I come from Eastern Europe. Jewish people in Russia and in Poland, and my ancestry as well, they endured that. It is fresh in their minds. A lot of Russian people right now in Israel, can you imagine? They flew from one miserable place to end up in Israel, which is not entirely safe. So they might feel concerned, and they might feel a little bit sort of a betrayed, you know, like they wanted to come to the peaceful refuge, but that's the reality of things. Now, when I speak about Holocaust, it is so far removed right now from people. People don't remember it. People don't, a lot of the world right now, they turn the eyes blind to survivors of the Holocaust, for example. Fewer and fewer people are alive who remember it. But I was struck by my upbringing, because I remembered it vividly all of a sudden, how I was like growing up in the environment where those who perpetrated crimes against Jews, those who were in the KGB, for example, you know that Stalin killed possibly more Jews even, or tried to, than Hitler did. And anti-Jewish policy was stronger even in Russia for the longest time, even before Hitler came to power. And all these guys who literally went in at night to shoot Jews in the basement of the buildings and to pile up their bodies and just be totally agents of the enemy, these guys were allowed to carry on in Russia. And they became my school teachers when I was growing up. They have not been punished by the government or even by the public opinion. Nobody really knew what they did. But growing up in this atmosphere where you are within totally evil environment, which is so ungodly that even the killers are not punished and they carry on, kind of gave me another focus. In the Holocaust, you know what happened, that they rounded up people and Everybody, children, everybody, old, young. But Jewish people stayed with the Torah. The rabbis, they kept reading Torah in the midst of it all. Nobody knows really what had become of them. Some of them have perished even. But they kept at the Torah, they kept reading it, especially in Poland. The shtetl, the villages there, they were exterminated, annihilated, exiled, but the rabbis kept teaching and preaching Torah. So choosing Torah in the midst of horrible Holocaust seems to be what God wants. But on the other hand, my heart was also broken by the people who are trapped into this environment, the innocent people. Well, and I asked myself, how could that be? We have 2 million Palestinians in Gaza. Half of them are children. 40% of population there is under the age of 14. That's mind-boggling to me. Now, and I started looking at the computer, at the, you know, photographs of this place. How do they live in there? What is? And I have been reminded by God. The Lord has been telling me that yes, these people, unfortunately, tragically being caught in this situation where they are. But there is a reason behind everything. There is an ongoing purpose. Not necessarily we can call it purpose, but it is the cause and consequence. Cause and consequence. Some of the images in the computer that I've seen were of Christians in Gaza. There are some born again Arabs and Palestinians, and some people look fine there, and my heart goes for them, and we pray for them. But how can you, if you're trapped in this environment, which is, it has become your enemy, so the whole environment has become your enemy, the government, the systems, the educational system, like everything. And of course, we know that children in Palestine, they've been brought from the very, very beginning to hate Jews. This is how the educational system works there. And so that kind of reminded me the whole idea of the evil empire in which they ended up, because actually, listen to the podcast. I highly recommend for you to make sense out of the whole situation. There's an excellent podcast by Lex Fridman, if you have heard of him. He is interviewing politicians, important people in the world. But he's very thoughtful. He's an excellent Jew. He's a Russian Jew. It's in English, of course. But he interviewed Jared Kushner, who was a presidential advisor for President Trump, and his policy in the Middle East, about his policy, what went wrong, what are the predictions of him. So this is a podcast of Lex Fridman and Jared Kushner that I recommend you. So it kind of brought to my mind the idea why some nations don't seem to break that curse. And I started to investigate it more. You know how in Hebrew, place names for the locations and for people, in Hebrew, they usually have meaning. They have meaning. So sometimes it becomes ridiculous, like the parent would kind of name a child Sleepy or Grumpy, like in Hebrew. And it's not an easy name to live with, right? Like if somebody, Your name in Hebrew means that you're grumpy, right? But on the other hand, a lot of these names have sort of a God's will to put upon them. So, and as I was looking for the name Gaza, Hebrew name, interestingly, there is no G sound in the beginning of it. The root is Ayin and Zayin, which is Aza. G was historically, linguistically, the letter Ayin sometimes was pronounced as Ga, not just A. So Ayin, as you know, looks like two branches. So one, first it's one stem, which branches out in two different directions. This is Ayin. And that root of the word actually means, for the Aza, means, you know, deviant force. It's something deviation, something not right, something that went astray and it has become strong. This is the meaning of the whole Gaza word. So it's obvious that it's a stronghold of idolatry, of something that went very wrong there, long time ago. And why I mentioned the podcast of Jared Kushner, because he summarized the situation very clearly. He said that these 2 million people in Gaza, they are hostages. It's not like Israel, of course, having some hostages, Hebrew hostages there. But the full 2 million people are hostages to a small group of terrorists, to that Gaza political party, which came to power 2006 after Israel pulled out of that area. So they have elected this and this, but forcefully elected again, so it was miserably kind of orchestrated. But the fact is that these are small amount of politicians and terrorists who are holding hostage all these people. The other interesting word was this village of Raim, in which that techno festival happened at first. Now, this kind of a rave music, right, where the people dance under the techno rhythm. I kind of looked up that festival, and it's supposed to be about love, about the universal love. So that was the name of this supernova Nova festival. Just love and joy for everybody, kind of universal covering of this. However, you know how it ended. It's been a super tragic event. There is some wisdom in that, because the village Raim in which it happened means friends. Raim means friends in Hebrew. But unfortunately, that is the wrong kind of route for the true friends. The true friends with godly sort of a love, with godliness, which are motivated by godliness, it's another word. But this particular word, it's pretty much friends who are your friends because it is either useful or they want to get something out of you, or it's just convenient to be a friend. So this is very interesting. It's like all these worldly things which are going on, they are focused upon what? Convenience, universal love, kind of like acceptance of everything, and just being nice to everybody kind of thing. But that is not the goal, and this is not the destiny of God. This is not what He has in His mind and heart. And just on the side note, Hamas in Hebrew plainly means violence. Like this word. So for Jews to hear Hamas means violence. That's just what it is. And also the color green, the green color that Hamas has on every flag and stuff like this. This green also means indiscriminate growth. Like a tree growing, blossoming, yes, but it's indiscriminate, so it's kind of wild. And it's without any control, any rein on it. So rebelliousness. Rebelliousness pronounced everywhere out there, it seems like. And getting weird friends, you know, rash iron, it's, these are friends which are going to cause you to go astray. So all of that brought to my mind the important point that we get sidetracked. And the whole nations get sidetracked. And the whole nations become hostages by historical events of choosing the wrong thing. And that causes misery. Because what I saw on my computer screen, life in Gaza, is a horrible slums. It's worse than poverty that I've seen in Russia, where the whole economy collapsed. It's worse than that. Like, everything is in disarray. Nothing works out there. So even without war, it looks already broken. Like, it's, without the destruction from the rockets or bombs, it already looks like ruins. Like, miserable, very miserable. And so my heart goes to those who live there. They need to become godly. They need to turn to morals which are in the Bible. Now, that applies to unbelievers as well. And that applies to believers too. Because as you will see, in as my message continues here, because this is just the introduction right now. Yeah. How much time I have? Okay. Yeah, don't worry. I'm on track here. My message haven't started yet. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Yeah. But just like we travel sometimes to third world country, and we have these privileged areas, all-inclusive resorts where people stay within their confines and stuff and enjoy. And then outside of it, like in Jamaica, for example, you have poverty, you have people who have no hope. And that bothers my spirit. I could never really get an all-inclusive vacation where there is the gate, there is the fence, and outside of it people don't know God. Now, that brings a lot of complicated questions. Do they want to know God, for example? If they do, well, it is your mission to go out there and tell them about God. If they don't, that is entirely another matter of idolatry. Now, that idolatry has roots, big, deep roots. It's like in The Lord of the Rings. Saruman said, "The roots go deep, my lord." Yes. Yeah. It's not an easy matter, and it's not the Latin matter. It's underneath the whole conflict of the universe, and the heavenly powers wage war as we speak. There's alarms, the rockets everywhere, they're flying. You are Christians who are in the middle of the warfare, invisible warfare. But the rockets are flying. You know about Iron Dome in Israel. The rockets are flying 80% 88%, sometimes 98% of these rockets are getting intercepted and caught, and no harm. 2% still come through. But the Iron Dome is all around, and it looks amazing. I have heard, you know, CNN correspondent who's underneath it, and she looked up, and she sees all these rockets literally above her. They're coming in. There's a swarm of them. And they would destroy her. Like, it's scary because it's right coming at her. And she looks, and all of them, all of them getting annihilated right, like, you know, 500 meters above your head. It's an amazing experience. It's like a miracle, she said. It's spectacular. It's like, she said, I would never forget it. The sense of security, in a way, like in protection. And this Iron Dome, just for your information, exists around every Christian. We have the shield of the Lord around us. Magen David, the shield of David. Now, I checked up that word shield in Hebrew. Super powerful word, which actually means not just the flat shield on one side. It means the dome, the shielded protection above you, which is from every side you are protected. You are under the sphere, half a sphere. Now, the only side which is not protected is underneath you, the ground. Now, that got me thinking. If we are on the right ground, if we stand on our faith of God's promises, if we stand on God's word, everything else is around us protected. The enemy cannot get underneath. There are no underground tunnels that he can dig. He cannot get in because we stand on God's promises. However, if we deviate, if we stand outside on something else, this is called idolatry. Why? Because we do not rely on our master. We rely on something else. Now, that something else could be anything in your life. That could be anything that you obsess about to the detriment, to the harm of your relationship with God. I'm going to elaborate more about it, but this is the general idea. So if you stand if you belong to God and stand on the promises of your master and the Lord, then you are protected. But in Palestine, you know, Philistines, Palestine is also the same root. It is the same word. So this whole thing goes 2,000 years ago. And just to finish this part of my message about the Holocaust and how people get trapped in these circumstances, and I'm going to show you a little object lesson here. So I have brought here this little Bible. This is the German Bible in German, and it's been printed during the World War II. I have discovered it in the Goodwill, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, this Bible, in fact, has been printed in Nazi Germany, and it went through World War II. It's been carried by the soldier during the war. Now, when I looked in, it's not in a very good condition, but some things are underlined, so that soldier was reading it and he was praying. And it's all in the Gothic script, like every single letter is in a Gothic script, like this is a real thing. And it has this hard leather in there. You can come and touch it. It's amazing here. And it just breaks my heart that some people, Christians as well, they get caught in the strife and struggle of these horrible events. But they stay with the Lord, and the Lord protects them. The Lord protects them. And now, coming to the meat of my message. Somebody asked me about divine obsession. I was talking about philosophy and different ways how people start worrying and anxious, and they want everything to be perfect, for example, and they cannot get it, so frustration sets in. And people obsess about it. They cannot get off this. Or people somehow get married to some sort of a result. Like if they put a lot of effort, they really need it completed. Or they need it succeed. They need success. And so the focus shifts from God's plan, who may include you not succeeding in something. It's possible. The Lord will guide you. He is your parent. If the child wants to build, say, a skyscraper, you know, father said, no, you don't have enough means or money, and I'm not giving you any money for that. Yeah. So the idea for obsession is that we still have the self, our ideas, goals on the throne. So we have self on the throne instead of God being on the throne. Now in Hebrew, this chain of thoughts, chain of starting with ideas and continuing to dwell upon something, then it turns into action and then it comes to consequence, is beautifully illustrated even in the Hebrew letters. They even look the same. There's a succession of sort of a chain reaction of four Hebrew letters. It starts with a little thought, starts with the idea, yod. You know, this little squiggle. Yod is the squiggle, is the idea. Then it grows, say, if you put letter Vav next to it, this yod kind of grown. It grown a leg into Vav. Vav, it's already when you make a choice of something, because it's not just a thought, but you need to make a choice, because it's kind of like a door or a nail around which stuff rotates. So, and then next letter is Resh, it's action. So all these legs, the upper part and the lower part, they grow into this big rash action. So your choice turns into the actual stuff that you do. And then that becomes character or a habit. When you continuously do the same thing over and over again, that becomes habit, character. And then this iron thingy comes into play, because if you deviate from your master, ayin in Hebrew also means the eyes, for example, the last of the eyes, something that draws you astray, temptation, for example, as well. Then you have this split ends, like you are doing two masters now. So you cannot do two masters. This is what Yeshua said. Cannot serve God and, you know, mammon of money, which unfortunately we observe here in the West. A lot of it is about money. But if you don't do that, and I mean, who of us, almost all of us, sometimes are tempted, of course, and all of us go astray. We all sin. So we all go through the iron process. We all sometimes become idolatrous to a degree, because something becomes more important. To be the idol means that something takes place of God for you, for your period and time, for your place and your time right now. Something is more important. And you insist on that being more important. And so that becomes an idol. And idolatry is more insidious kind of thing than you think. It's not just you proclaiming that God don't exist, you know, I'm going to worship something else. It's too blatant, it's too open. But it happens every day. It happens, like I know for sure, when instead of, for example, honoring Shabbat and being quiet and peaceful, sometimes we offered jobs on that day. Sometimes we offered something that we have to do, but technically we can pray to the Lord and He could deliver us out of this choice, but we don't. And so these little idols, they kind of pop up here and there. And they can be your skills, your abilities that you get too attached to, or it can be something that you really desire very strongly, and it's there on the horizon, just almost within the reach, and you kind of try to visualize it, whatever. But you are now attached to something which might not be in God's plan. And that would dictate your whole chain of thought, idea, thought, choice, action, habit. So that becomes your iron thingy. How do you defeat this? There is another letter, another Hebrew letter, which ends this chain. Yod, Vav, Resh, Ayin. It's Tzadi. Tzadi. Now, if you look at the Tzadi letter, it has the iron pretty much like two-pronged branching out on top. But it is having the very horizontal base. It's standing on the base. That's tzadi. Tzadi in Hebrew means tzadik, for example, one of the Hebrew letters from it means the righteous man, means the righteous person who believes in God, who stays with God. Now, that tzadi speaks to me a lot. Because even though we are idolaters sometimes, yes, it happens. But we come back to the ground of godliness. We come back with our choice. We're exercising conscious choice to come back to the Lord, to rely upon Him, to stand on this solid ground, being protected by the Iron Dome, being cared for, being loved for. And this means that we don't have to defend ourselves to the point of violence, the point of anger, for example. Anger in Hebrew also, it's hot. It means like it's you're in the heat of things. So it's not good. But tzadi is good. Our goal, our application in life should be that we should be trying to live righteous lives with the Lord as much as we can. And by the end of every day, we can come to Yeshua and He will cleanse us. He will wash the feet. He will wash the feet. And get rid of all these attachments that we accumulate during the day, all these distractions, all these little idol worships that we do. But He will remind us that that's not that important. He still loves us. He still cares for us. Another object lesson which I have here, it's not the lesson, but it's just the object that I wrote here. Is this A.W. Tozer book, The Pursuit of God. Now, A.W. Tozer is a fantastic writer, probably one of the last Christian writers who have been aligned with God's purpose. Now, he was against, and he is against, in his writings here, the deviations that exist now in the church who goes after something else. Like he writes here, for example, Christian literature to be accepted and approved must follow closely the same train of thought. A half century of this in America has made us smug and content. Our most strenuous efforts are put forth to try to say the same thing that everyone around us is proclaiming. There is really some sort of a drying out and some sort of a shallowness and some sort of a falling into the rut which exists in the Christian life. There is a lot of stuff that we cling to. There's a lot of stuff that we need to make us feel comfortable. But where is the Holy Spirit move in all that? Where is the freshness that the Lord wants to breathe into your life every single day? That is the living life with Yeshua. Now, the pursuit of God here by Tozer is when we pursue it, we have to have the desire to go out on a limb in a good way to ask the Lord to be with us, to stay. And He is with us. We just have to truly be aware about it and throw away all these little idols and obsessions that we have. For example, he says here, a very good phrase, social religion, which is like in church, is perfected when private religion is purified. So on our personal basis, on our private personal basis, we need to purify. And it's a beautiful thing. We stand on the basis of the Lord, like that letter tzaddik. Like every time you see that letter, it kind of like, you know, waves at you. Hello, look at me. I am standing solid. I'm not moving left and right. I'm good. It's a good letter. And so, reading Tozer will help. I highly recommend for you to read his books. And to finish, because unfortunately I only have 5 minutes left, I'm going to finish with a beautiful verse to inspire you. This is Isaiah 54, chapter 54, verse 10. In King James, it says, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on thee." What an incredible thing. If only the whole Bible be like that verse, it is already enough. It is already enough for us to rest in that. Now, resting is a good word. Don't think for a moment that it's irresponsible word. Resting in God's embrace is truly powerful. Because if you abide, if you listen, if you subside, if you get your obsessive thoughts in check, if you quiet down, then you will hear. You will hear what the Lord has for you, and His mercy will endure forever in your life. Adonai Hasdo Leolam Vayed. Everybody say, Adonai Hasdo Leolam Vayed. His mercy endures forever. Does that have a place for these pity Philistines, Palestinians doing their agenda? Yes, it's the enemy trying to stir up the pot, and it's going to happen quite a bit in the last days. But for us, we stay solid on the solid ground, protected by the Iron Dome. We love Yeshua. Now, there is also one last thing I'm going to read. Tozer quotes the ancient saint here. Nicholas of Cusa. Who knows of that guy, right? But Tozer knows of him. He lived 400 years ago. When all my endeavor is turned toward thee, because all thy endeavor is turned toward me. When I look unto thee alone with all my attention, nor ever turn aside my eyes of my mind. Because thou dost enfold me, cover me with thy constant regard. When I direct my love toward thee alone, because thou who art love's self hast turned thee toward me alone. And what, Lord, is my life save that embrace wherein thy delightful sweetness doth so lovingly enfold me? So this has been written by the righteous man 400 years ago. He didn't have the happy life, neither easy life. But this is the encouragement for us to not get into small, petty, troublesome obsessions, to little idols, but stay pure, happy, and assured by the God's word and promises of Him. Yes, hallelujah. So that's the end of my message. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray with the words of Tozer here. Oh God and Father, I repent of my sinful preoccupation with visible things. The world has been too much with me. Thou have been here. I know you've been here, and I knew it not. I have been blind to your presence. Open my eyes that I may behold thee in and around me. For Yeshua's sake. Amen.